Ah, yes, my little prince. This is how, bit by bit, I came to know your sad story. For a long time, your only pleasure was watching the sunset. I discovered this new detail on the fourth morning when you told me, "I love sunsets. Let's go and see a sunset." "But we'll have to wait." "Wait for what?" "For the sun to set." You were very surprised at first. Then you laughed at yourself and said, "I forgot where I am. I always think I'm at home." When it's midday in the United States, as everyone knows, the sun is setting over France. You could get to France in a minute or so. You'd be able to watch the sunset. Unfortunately, France is much too far away, but on your tiny planet, all you had to do was move your chair a few inches and you could watch the sun go down at any time you liked. One day, I saw the sunset 44 times. And a little later, you added, "You know, when you're as sad as I was, you love sunsets." The day you watched 44 of them, were you really that sad? But you didn't answer. On the fifth day, again thanks to the lamb, another of the little prince's secrets was revealed to me. He suddenly asked me, out of the blue, as if he had been silently mulling over the problem for some time, "If lambs eat bushes, do they also eat flowers?" "Lambs eat whatever come their way." "Even flowers with thorns?" "Yes, even flowers with thorns." "So what's the use of thorns?" But I didn't know. I was right in the middle of trying to unscrew a jammed bolt in my engine. I was very worried. It was beginning to look as though there was a serious problem, and my drinking water was running out, making me feel the worst. "What's the use of thorns?" The little prince never let a question go once he'd asked it, but my bolt was annoying me, so I said the first thing that came into my head. "Thorns are no use at all. They're just flowers' ways of being nasty." "Oh." But after a moment's silence, he retorted, almost reproachfully, "I don't believe you. Flowers are weak. They're also naive. They do their best to reassure themselves. They think their thorns are making them terrifying." I didn't respond. At that moment, I was thinking, if this bolt won't unscrew, I'll smash it off with a hammer. But the little prince broke my thought of train again. "So, do you think flowers..." "No, I don't. I don't think anything." I said the first thing that came into my head. "Unlike you, I have important things to worry about." He stared at me in amazement. "Important things?" He was looking at me. I had a hammer in my hand, my fingers were covered in grease, and I was bent over an object that, to him, was extremely ugly. "You sound like a grown-up." I felt a bit embarrassed, but he took no pity on me and continued, "You confuse everything. You mix everything up." He was really very annoyed. His golden hair was shaking in the wind. "I know a planet where there's a man with a bright red face. He has never smelled a flower. He has never gazed at a star. He has never loved anyone. He has never done anything but sums. All day long he keeps saying, like you, 'I am an important man. I'm an important man.' And that makes him big-headed. But he isn't a man, he's a puffball."
"A what?"
"A puffball." By now, the little prince was white with anger. For millions of years, flowers have been growing thorns. And for millions of years, lambs have been eating flowers anyway. But it isn't important to try to understand why flowers take so much trouble to grow thorns that are never of any use. For millions of years, flowers have been growing thorns. And for millions of years, lambs have been eating flowers anyway. But it's not important to try and understand why flowers take so much trouble to grow thorns that are never of any use. It isn't important that lambs and flowers are at war. It isn't more important than the sums the man with the red face does. And if I, the little prince, know of a flower that is the only one like it in the universe, that doesn't exist anywhere else except on my planet, and that could be destroyed in just one go by a lamb, one morning, just like that, without the lamb even realizing what it's doing, isn't that important too? His face turned pink. Then he went on. If someone loves a flower that's unique among all the millions of stars, that's all he needs to make him happy when he looks at them. He can say to himself, my flower is up there somewhere. But if the lamb eats the flower, for him, it's as if all the stars had suddenly gone out. But that's not important. He could find nothing more to say. Suddenly, he burst into tears. Night had fallen. I had put down my tools. I could no longer care about my hammer or my bolt, the fact that I had nothing to drink, or that I was going to die. There was a little prince on a planet, on my planet, Earth, who needed comforting. I took him in my arms. I rocked him. I said to him, the flower that you love is not in danger. I'll draw a muzzle for your lamb. I'll draw you a shield for your flower. I didn't really know what to say. I felt very clumsy. I didn't know how to reach him, how to connect with him. Sadness is such a mysterious place. I very soon learned more about this flower. On the little prince's planet, there had always been very simple flowers, with a single row of petals, which didn't take up any space and didn't bother anyone. They appeared in the morning among the grass, and disappeared again in the evening. But one day, this flower emerged from a seed that had blown in from somewhere else. The little prince kept a close eye on the tiny shoot, which looked different from all the other tiny shoots. Perhaps it was a new species of baobab, but the plant soon stopped growing and started getting ready to flower. As he watched an enormous bud develop, the little prince was convinced that something miraculous was about to appear, but hidden in her green cocoon, the flower simply continued preparing to be beautiful. She carefully chose her colours. She slowly put on her clothes. And one by one, she adjusted her petals. She didn't want to come out all crinkled like a poppy. She wanted to emerge resplendent in all of her glory. Oh, yes. She was a very vain flower. So her secret preparations went on for days and days. And then, one morning, just as the sun came up, having worked so hard for so long, she yawned and said, oh, I'm not even awake. Please excuse me. My hair is still a mess. But the little prince couldn't contain his delight. How beautiful you are. Yes, aren't I? Replied the flower sweetly. And look, I've come out the same time as the sun. The little prince realized that the flower was none too modest, but how good she made him feel. Oh, I do believe it's time for breakfast, said the flower soon afterwards. Would you be kind enough to spare a thought for me? And the little prince was all embarrassed and went to fill a watering can with fresh water, which he sprinkled on the flower. And so she was soon tormenting him with her vanity and capriciousness. One day, for example, referring to her four thorns, she said to the little prince, even tigers could not attack me with their claws. There aren't any tigers on my planet, objected the little prince. In any case, tigers don't eat grass. I'm not grass, replied the flower sweetly. Oh, forgive me. I may not be afraid of tigers, but I can't stand drafts. You wouldn't have a windbreak, would you? A plant that can't stand drafts? What sort of plant is that? Thought the little prince. Oh, this flower is much too complicated. In the evenings, you're to put a dome over me. It's cold on your planet. It's not in a good location. Where I come from? But she broke off. She had arrived as a seed. How could she have known anything about other worlds? Ashamed at being caught fabricating such a childish lie, she coughed 2 or 3 times to make the little prince feel guilty. And the windbreak? I was about to fetch it, but you were talking to me. Then she coughed a little harder to make him feel sorry anyway. And so, despite wanting to show how much he loved her, the little prince soon became suspicious of the flower. He had taken her empty words seriously, and now he was very unhappy. I shouldn't have listened to her, he confided in me one day. You should never listen to flowers. You should look at them and smell them. Mine filled my planet with fragrance, but I was unable to enjoy it. That business about tigers should have made me feel sorry for her, but it only annoyed me. He confided in me another time. How stupid I was. I should have judged her on her actions, not on her words. She gave me her fragrance. She lit up my world. I should never have run away. I should have realized that her silly games were a sign of affection. Flowers are so full of contradictions. But I was too young to know how to love her. I hope you have a really nice sleep.